We're on. Okay. It really is a wonderful privilege to be here today. I've got to say, I love this experience. I don't know whether there is any here that have not seen baptism before. To see it is great. To be part of it is wonderful. And I know I've got to go back to all the 1963 or 4, when I was baptized, along with 11 other people in Leckwith Gospel Hall. And that was great to share that experience with so many. Hold that thought. We'll come back to that in a moment. But first of all, I've got to explain, for those younger ones that are here, this is a pool loaned to us by Glenwood Church in Llanefin. Constructed, I might say, by Richard and Sue and myself. On Friday, we came here and we built it up. And Richard, thank you so much for filling it up. I do appreciate it. And I can tell you, Emmanuel, that is warm. Ah, no. I was going to say that it was cold, but then I thought, no, that would be lying. That's not a good start. So it is nice and warm. But I want to explain to you children in particular, but maybe to some of you older ones as well. This is water, and we normally associate water with washing. But this is not for washing, Emmanuel, today. You've had a good wash today already. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, so have I. Oh, good. Thumbs up from him, too. Now, there's a verse in the Bible which explains something about what this is about. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. And this is the Message translation. It says, "You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, only a few were saved then." Just 8, to be exact. "And they were saved from the water by the water." They were in boats, weren't they? On top of the water. "The waters of baptism do not, I'll do that for you. They're not by washing away the dirt from your sin, but by presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone, from angels to armies. He's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. So we should listen to what Jesus has got to say. And we should be ready to obey it." More of that in a moment. So Emmanuel is going to be plunged under that water. And it's a picture of his dying. And there isn't any doubt that if I keep my foot on his chest whilst he's under there, for long enough, he's dead. But it's a picture of Emmanuel joining Jesus Christ in his sacrificial death for us. It's a black hole. Later on, you can have a look in it. It's blackness. And that's a picture of our death against the sin that has caused that death. Jesus Christ died. So many times before. He died sacrificially so that you and I can be taken out of the consequences of our sin, which is death and separation from God, and we can find complete forgiveness in him. And we'll hear later from Emmanuel that that is indeed the case, that Emmanuel has approached Christ and asked for forgiveness of his sins, recognizing that Christ's sacrifice has been broad enough to save us all and forgive us all. That's wonderful. We've got a bigger congregation than when we first started. Oh, and one of them's complaining. We'll throw him in later. Right. So, Emmanuel has been to that point where He has said, I repent of my sins. I turn my back on my sins, and I'm walking away from my sins because Christ has died for those sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We've heard that earlier this morning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So as a result of recognizing his need of salvation, Emmanuel now has a new life. We're going to celebrate that. But at this point, Emmanuel is still under the water. I won't be saying all of that by the time we've watched him. So he's under the water. And then Richard and I, we're going to pick him up out of that water. And that's a picture of Emmanuel being raised to new life as Jesus was raised from the dead. He's going to come away from that experience with a new focus, with a desire to be more godlike in his life. He is going to be one who is able to look at his past and say, I'm no longer going there. I'm now raised in new life, and I am going to be living for him. Now, I'm sure we're absolutely confident that we can pick anybody who's got to perhaps, I don't know, 9.5, 10 stone out of this water without any difficulty. How heavy are you, Emmanuel? How heavy are you? 80 kilograms. That's, oh dear. You can swim, can you? Oh, that's all right then. Okay, right. So Richard and I are going to pull him up with great confidence. Of that, I'm certain. Okay? And indeed, Emmanuel is going to say, I hope they can. He is going to say, yes, I trust you to pull me up out of this water. And that's faith, isn't it? You know, that is someone who's saying, there's something that needs to happen here, and I trust Richard and Paul to do just that. And Emmanuel will be cheerful. Okay? Because it says this in Luke chapter 24, verse 52. It says this. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, this is Jesus, and he blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Because when we have experienced personally that risen Saviour, it brings a joy to our heart which can't be overwhelmed. So when I look out there at all those people that have similarly had that experience, I can see joy in that. That should be part of our lives. It should be what attracts other people to wanting to see Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because there is something within them which is overwhelming in its nature. And it says, I am yours, you are mine. I'm going to live that out in my life, in all my experiences. There is a lot more of you smiling now than there was just 30 seconds ago. But that's how it should be with us. We should be saying, yes, God, I know you are the one who has given me new life, a hope for eternity. And we should be ready to express that in our very faces. Now, Emmanuel has come here today voluntarily. He asked for this event. He chose the day. He chose the songs. He's following the Lord's command and is ready to be. Now, I'm going to ask this question of each one of you, and it'd be really good if you could respond, okay? Could you stand up if you have already been baptized? Could you stand up if you've already been baptized? That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Let me say a word of blessing over you. Dear God, I just thank you for these people who have followed you and said, you are my Lord, I am yours. I want to follow you, dear Lord, through the waters of baptism. Please bless them, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you sit. You see, we know that there's only one qualification for being baptized. And that is that we repent. We know what God's command to us is through the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. He said you should repent and be baptized. It's as though the one follows the other. It's like bread and butter. It's like sausage and ham. No, sausage and eggs. No, beans on toast. It goes together. When you repent, you're then baptized. Now, if the Lord has told us that, and remember I said, if we hear what the Lord says, we should obey it, then that should mean that everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior should be baptized. And I'd like you to seriously think of that right now, at this very moment. Think of it, as I mentioned the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, who was traveling through the desert, minding his own business, reading the word of God, when all of a sudden the apostle Philip comes up to him and jumps in his chariot and explains to him what the gospel really means. The Ethiopian eunuch, he heard the gospel. He said, I can relate to that. Yes, I want to be saved. I am saved. Jesus Christ has said, all who call upon him in the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, if that's the case, said the Ethiopian eunuch, as they were passing a river or a lake, he said, well, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, nothing stops you. They went down to the water, and he was baptized. Now, I'm asking you seriously, for those of you that have not been baptized, of those of you who have not been baptized, but know Jesus Christ as your Savior, here is water. What prevents you from being baptized? You may say, well, if I go in there today, in just these clothes, I'm going to go home wet. I've bought spare clothes for you. I have got 4 sets of shorts and t-shirts out there that will fit the majority of you. So I am saying to you, at this moment, is there anyone who claims Jesus Christ as their Savior and wants to be baptized today? I'm asking you something. If you can fulfill that single qualification, then you can be baptized today. And I would ask that as this session goes on, you raise your hand or something, or you come up to the front or something. You see, there is something about having to do that. It's strange that you can't sit in your seat and be baptized. No, you've got to come out here. The job's got to be done in there. And that is part of our Christian testimony. You know, we weren't saved to be part of an anonymous group of people. We were saved because we have a message of good news for the world out there. And we've got to take that to them. Emmanuel was wonderful in Mission to Wales. The way he had such enthusiasm in wanting to go and challenge people on the streets and ask them whether they would be safe in heaven if they were to die tonight. That takes a lot of guts. And that's part of his Christian testimony. Part of your Christian testimony might be to say, okay, Paul, today's the day. Seriously ask them, if there's anyone who wants to be baptized today alongside a man, your chance is here and now. Let's hear Emmanuel's testimony. You tell us, Emmanuel. Look at this. This is going to be like being on the television. It's all the way up. It's all the way around. Whoa. I love this. You take that, son. Can you tell us something about yourself and why you're here today?
My name, Newell. Relate. Bible study. That I decided to invite Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Savior. However, I was still learning more about Jesus, and I felt that it was more of an acknowledgement that I need Jesus in my life. So on Easter Sunday, we held an Easter service here, and a video of Jesus on the cross was played. It made me emotional because Jesus died for our sins. And even if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would still die for you. And at that point, I truly felt in my heart that I need Jesus in my life. So I decided to invite Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Savior once again. And that was from my heart. That was about 2 years ago. And it was a big decision. I thought my life would change straight away, but it didn't. I was wrong. So I included Jesus in some parts of my life and excluded him in the rest. I was doing things that I didn't like and felt ashamed, so I kept them a secret from my parents. However, I recently learned from my past love relationship that I needed Jesus in my entire life and in everything I do. So today, I am excited to be baptized as a symbol for myself that Jesus is the center of my life and in everything I do. He is my comforter, my supporter, my provider, my shelter, my healer, my role model, my Lord and Savior.
That is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We're not quite ready to baptize this chap yet, but I've got to say that was wonderful. Let's specifically pray for him now. But dear Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for this young man. He's young in his faith, but he has decided that as he is standing on a solid rock, he wants other people to know where he stands. I thank you, Father, for his testimony, for your goodness to him in drawing him to you and showing yourself to him, showing him his need of you. And Father, I would just ask that you bless him mightily today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit totally fill him so that he might be blessed in all that he does with all of your power and your authority, I pray, in all that he goes to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You sit back down for a moment. That is so good. There's one final thing I wanted to say before we actually have this baptism. There's a short story in Acts chapter 19, and it goes like this. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Well, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "Well, we've not so much as heard whether there is the Holy Spirit." And Paul said to them, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul explained, "Well, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So I tell you this, it is my expectation that Emmanuel will be blessed by the presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is scriptural. And the Spirit will be an invaluable aid in Emmanuel's future life. Now, we're getting close. There's still a few other things I want to say. But Emmanuel, come here. Richard, come here. Three of us are going to be in this water. And I just wanted to explain a little something of the significance of what we're going to be doing. Now, I'm going to be standing in my back over there, so you stand like that. Rich, you stand over there. I just want to tell you how we're going to hold you. That's good, isn't it? Because if we just drop you in, you're just going to create a splash. Okay? Now, you're going to be, Rich, beside this hand, and you're holding on to that. Okay? I'm going to be holding on back here. This hand. Okay? Now, both Richard and I got hold of you. I've got you here, Richard's got you there. Okay? We're going to have you hold you on the back of the neck. I'm going to say a few words. And you're going to hold yourself absolutely rigid. And when I say amen, that's when you're going in. All right? Okay. Now, this handhold is one that I've not used before. It needs to be two of us today that are going to do this baptism, mainly because we're both geriatrics. Normally, we do this one at a time. One of us would do the baptism. But, you know, as I considered this, I was thinking there are words in the Gospels where Jesus is speaking and says, these sheep hear my voice and they know me. And they are in my hand. And no one can get them out of my hand. And they are in my Father's hand. And no one can get them out of my Father's hand. So I just wanted that this handhold to be a picture. Richard has got hold of Emmanuel, and I've got hold of him. You're safe in our hands, but you're safer in your God's hands. Jesus is there holding him. The Father is there holding him. He is someone on whom you can rely in all circumstances. Okay? So that's the handhold. Got it? Good. So have we. Now, you can stay around because I haven't got much more to say. So I can tell you, on the basis of the Word of God and your testimony, that you are a safe young man. Now, when we're in the water, just before we dunk you in the water, I'm going to say this. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when I say amen, that's when you're going down. That's when your mum and dad will be holding their breath. But why do we use that formula? In the name of. You see, God the Father is the one who's created you. And Jesus Christ is the one who has saved you and redeemed you. And the Holy Spirit protects you, preserves you, provisions you, enables you. Because we have got a triune, threefold God, total unity with one another. Now, after we have done the baptism, we'll go off, we'll dry up, we'll come back here, and I got a couple more words. Okay? So we're ready to do the business. I'm picking this off. Okay? Come over here, my son. Yes, you can all go and sit down if you like. Let me just get this. Move this around here. Right. Finally, I want to give you this little book. It's called Bible Promises for You. And I want you to read them. I want you to learn them. And I want you to rely upon them. That is so important. And finally, a verse for you to remember this day. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And those are people who wait on the Lord. That means I'm in the presence of the Lord and I'm waiting for him to tell me what to do. I'm waiting for him to enable me to do it. I'm waiting for him to be with me in all that I do in his name. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And finally, Siloam wants to give you this gift. There's a certificate of baptism in there. Looks like a congratulations card. And this little gift. Now, Emmanuel is going away to university in Swansea. Yeah? What were your A-level results on Thursday? And he's been baptized. That is great. God bless you. Really, God bless you. Thank you so much. All right. Now, our time together has come to a close. You've got to be impressed. Project manager. Are we going to sing that chorus one more time? Okay.